So tonight we're going to start a series for the season of Lent, or our midweek services that we're calling Till the Garden. Till the Garden, which is of the commands that God gave to Adam, and he put him in the garden, put the first people in the garden to take care of it, to till the garden. But we're also using that to think about where we are till the garden. A little play on words. Our Bible class that we've been in for a little while, and we still have a few weeks to go, is Between Two Trees, and Ron's leading that, and it's started with the garden and the trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, until the tree of life is restored at the end when Jesus returns and everything is restored, with a tree in the middle being the cross. So, similar to that line of thinking, we're going to look at some garden scenes, and tonight the scene in the garden of creation. Immediately before this Genesis 2 reading started was the creation of man from the dust. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so tonight we consider the intimacy of creation. Man was created by the hands and breath of God. Genesis 1 describes the catalog of creation in the 6 days and the let there be statements. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that it was good, etc., all the way through the days where the waters are created and the separation of land from water, and then the sun and moon and stars on day 4, and the fish and the birds on day 5, and land animals, and finally people on day 6. And it rattles off creation in a fairly direct way, but in some ways a bit impersonal, particularly as we compare it to chapter 2, where we see a different view, a more intimate look at the whole of creation. God rested on the 7th day. That's the beginning of chapter 2, and then chapter 2 describes creation of people with more detail. In the days of creation, there were no plants, no rain yet, and God formed man from the dust. The word used there in Hebrew, from the dirt, from the dust, is, well, it's Adam. So God made Adam from Adam. We're dirt. As some of us were getting the sign, the ashes on the forehead, I said, remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. It's a fact of our lives, our existence. We're made in this chapter 2 from dirt. Adam's name could be dirt, but that would be different, wouldn't it? Our first parents, dirt and from dirt, I guess. Tonight we remember creation from dust, and we imagine God's hands getting dirty. God's fingers forming man. Later in the chapter, as it talks about Adam naming the animals, that God formed the animals too from the dirt, which is not often how we think of creation. But there is God, you know, intimate with his creatures and breathing into the nostrils of the man the breath of life. The form, the flesh, not alive without that breath, which came from God's breathing. And then woman was created from Adam. I had a thought a few weeks ago as we were confessing the Nicene Creed. And as we do that, we talk about Jesus, well, the second person of the Trinity, being begotten of his Father before all worlds. The word begotten is one that's kind of unknown. Like, what does that really mean? And nobody quite knows exactly. It's begotten. I mean, what does it mean? And the creation of Eve just came to me like, is this what it's like to be begotten? Now, it's not the same. I'm not trying to say that Eve is begotten of Adam. It's different. And yet, because of the whole thing where God stole Adam's rib, I heard a country song one time. It was, "I Think I Want My Rib Back," which was pretty funny. Long time ago. I had to look that up sometime. Anyway. It's that because part of Adam was taken and used and then formed into Eve. So in some ways, there's a similarity there. The creed goes on to talk about being of one substance, which would make sense as Eve is formed from what was taken from Adam. And there's other similarities. They're equal yet unique. They're similar yet different. The creation of woman was equally as intimate as the creation of man, and just different. Not formed from the dirt, but formed from the rib. Why a rib? I don't know. It's what God chose. He could have chosen the appendix and saved us all some trouble, I guess. Did God need a rib? Well, no. Not the God of chapter 1 who spoke everything into existence and we believe created from nothing. So he didn't need to take the rib from Adam, but he chose to create in this way, maybe so that Adam would reflect in verse 23, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." The union, the connection between people is demonstrated here in how we're created. And the first people were created with purpose. God made a garden. God, in fact, in verse 8, it says, planted the garden. Again, we can imagine God's hands dirty when you're planting. You get the soil pushed up under the fingernails. Dirt. I like the smell of dirt. On those spring days, I kind of like today when the sun is out and it's warming and you put the shovel into the dirt and you turn it over and there's just this smell that fills the nostrils. That's the stuff of life. And God planted the garden. God's gardening skills are top notch. Course. God made, verse 9 says, to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food here in his garden. So God was present. He was there. He was digging. He was planting. He was forming, not some remote transcendent command, but there, present, at work. In creation. And verse 15 says, God put Adam in the garden to work it and keep it, till the garden. Verses 16 and 17 that we heard say that the trees were in the garden and the command was given not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Next week we'll turn the page to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey liked to say, of what happened in that garden. Which really sets the stage for the rest of what happens in the series and in, the Bible. We'll get there next week. For this week, we'll just recognize that by God's design, we are relational. We were made for relationship. We were made for each other. Everyone needs someone. It's not good for man to be alone, or, woman for that matter. We need family, we need friends, we need significant people in our lives by God's design. relationships are complicated but critical. Babies in places where there's not that opportunity for parental touch or voice develop in a different way. I heard a story of people who were observing at an orphanage in another country, one that had many, many infants and young children there, and there were beds, and they were all lined up, and there was one caregiver, one nurse for several children. And yet there wasn't a lot of sound. And it's easy to imagine in that environment that one or more kids would be like crying and needy all the time. And someone asked, well, wow, these kids are amazing. Well, why don't they cry? And the answer was because they've learned not to, because no one's there. And so they develop without that relationship, without that dependence, in a way that's, well, not ideal, of course. Relationships are complicated this side of Genesis 3, which we'll touch on next week. But in the garden, the intimacy was intact. Relationships were good. And it's still true that it's not good for man to be alone. The Lord God said, this is in verse 18, it's not good for man, that man should be alone. God said that about man needing a helper fit for him, but it's also true in our vertical relationship, in our relationship with God. It's not good that man should be alone. And that's why the marks on our cross, on our foreheads, are in the shape of a cross. We are God's creatures. He is our creator, and we remain connected to him by right of creation. Have you ever created something and been pretty proud of it? I remember when I was a kid, I don't even remember where I was, but I remember what I made. It was in somebody's garage. It wasn't my parents, it wasn't my grandpa. There was some wood, there were some saws and nails and other pieces of hardware around. I think it was kind of a distant cousin's house. And we had some time, and my older cousin was there. And so we started just making stuff. And I cut some boards, and I put some things together, and I made a plane. Put some wings across, and there was a couple of pieces and a tail part that came up. And there was a, you know, the outdoor faucets and that little, the round handle from those? There was one of those in the garage, and it was there, so I took that and I put it on the front and tacked a nail through it, and that was the propeller. Felt pretty proud of that. It would not be worth selling. I mean, if you had it now, even on eBay, it wouldn't be worth much. It's not signed, so not that that would make any difference, but it wasn't that great, but I remember, and I remember making it. And I remember that feeling of accomplishment, of having created with these hands this plane that would definitely not fly. Well, it would, just really briefly, and land really hard. But there was a connection to that which I had created. God created us, you and me, with his hands and breathed his breath of life into us. And he remains connected to us in well beyond the way that I was connected to that plane that I made. And that's why Jesus came. John 1 connects the incarnation of Jesus to the scene of creation. In the beginning is how John 1 starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and he was there as everything was made. And apart from him, nothing was made. And it goes on in verse 12 to say, to all who did receive him, this Word who came, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We were made to be sons and daughters of God, children of the King, heirs of eternity, but that all got broken. at the fall. Through sin, through the ways that we're separated from God, which we confessed earlier. And so God's presence was needed. The intimacy was broken. So the incarnation was necessary. God's presence at creation was physical and tangible with his hands dirty. God's presence in Jesus, physical, tangible, hands dirty, calloused, and pierced. And so till the garden. At creation, God was with us intimately caring for his people. At the incarnation, God is with us, becoming one with us to redeem, well, until the garden at restoration, where we will be with God again face to face.